WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Happy Monday, beautiful people. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, do we have a show in store for you today. It's going to be a ton of debate and discussion, and of course, you will have your chance to weigh in on everything that we talk about today. We'll be talking about the MSU men's basketball woes as they fell to Illinois on Saturday. Also, Tom Izzo approached the podium for his weekly press conference. Hear what he had to say concerning multiple areas of his squad, and yes, he did address the free throw concern. A basketball legend passes away. We'll be counting memories of the great Dean Smith. Also, each and every Monday, you know we love to look at the weekend that was in sports and bring you our weekend winners. And we'll be talking about Syracuse. Yes, a ruling could be handed down by the NCAA concerning one or two or three or four violations, to say the least, okay? We'll tell you what that is and so much more, folks, but as custom here on the show, let's start like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 9th. All right, let's start on the hardwood. The MSU men's basketball team lost a tough one at home to Illinois on Saturday, 59-54, the final of that one. Denzel Valentine was the high man for the Spartans with 16 points before fouling out late in the second half. Now, the Spartans shot 7 of 18 from the foul line and now have an overall record of 15-8. Michigan State women's basketball team, they also fell over the weekend, 86-79 yesterday afternoon, to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. The Spartans were led by Ariel Powers with a modest 31 points, and Lexi Gussert even chipped in a career-high 20. MSU is now 2 games under .500 and 3-10 in the Big Ten. Oh, boy. All right. Zach Ervin posted 23 points, but could not prevent Michigan from dropping to the Indiana Hoosiers on the road Sunday. 70-67 was the final of that game. Now, despite shooting 50% from the field, the Wolverines trailed the Hoosiers all night. Their only lead came at the 18-48 mark in the first half. Michigan's next game is Thursday at Illinois. Yes, the same team that beat MSU on Saturday. All right, after an hour and a half delay, the MSU men's hockey rematch between them and the Wolverines took place for the Coyote City Classic at Soldier Field. How about that? Some outdoor hockey, folks. Now, when the rivals met last week, the Spartans won 2-1, but this weekend, the Wolverines came out with a vengeance, winning 4-1 the final of that one. All right, CMU, yes, the Chips has found their new football coach. John Benamago, Detroit Lions special team coordinator, has decided to leave the NFL to take a head coaching position at Central Michigan University. Now, Benamago said that this position has been his dream job since he left CMU football back in 1987. Now, Benamago primarily has been an NFL special teams coordinator for the past 16 years. He'll be replacing, of course, Dan Enos, who left the program last month to be an offensive coordinator at Arkansas. All right, the Detroit Pistons, they lost 112-101 to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. Since losing Brandon Jennings to injury, Detroit is now 3-6. Gauging who the Pistons are lately has been difficult as this stretch continues. A rough patch, to say the least, folks. Wins over Miami, Houston, and Denver. But now losses to the Timberwolves and 76ers, two of the worst teams in all of the NBA. Nikola Pekovic, he led the way for the T-Wolves, scoring 29, while Andre Drummond tried to keep the Pistons in it, scoring 17 points, 8 of 8 shooting, all while grabbing 14 rebounds and adding 2 steals and 2 blocks. Sad news in the world of basketball and sports. One of college basketball's legends passed away. Former North Carolina head coach Dean Smith. He was 83 years old. He served as the head coach of the Tar Heels, North Carolina Tar Heels, from 1961 all the way up into 1997. He led North Carolina to two national championships, with the first one coming in 1982 with the GOAT, Michael Jordan, leading the team. Smith also owned an Olympic gold medal from the 1976 Summer Games. All right, the San Diego Padres have agreed to a verbal deal with free agent pitcher James Shields for 4 years and within range of $75 million. Now, according to ESPN, the deal also includes a fifth-year option. If finalized, the deal would be the highest contract signed by the Padres to a free agent in franchise history. Again, as of now, this agreement is only verbal, nothing officially in writing. And last but certainly not least, after being convicted in 2014 on domestic violence charges, Carolina Panthers defensive end Greg Hardy's charges have been dropped due to the accuser not making herself available for the case. Now, Hardy appealed his conviction, and the trial was set to begin today. However, his ex-girlfriend, who is the accuser, did not show up for the case. Hardy played in one game last season and was then suspended for the remainder of the year after the charge. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, give your thoughts on any of those, call in right now. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, without further ado, let's start the show. Oh boy, another week of current sports. Happy Monday, ladies and gents. Man, this is going to be an exciting week. I am certainly excited about the multiple guests and multiple discussions that we have throughout this entire week. Even current sports TV folks. Folks, you want to be in the house this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. right here at the WKAR TV studios, as I will be sitting down with our youngest guest that we've ever had on the show. That we've ever had, folks. Folks, his name is Keon Gee. He's 10 years old. And I tell you what, he floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee. All right. He's 10 years old and is a 2014 Silver Glove champion. Now, that goes to the highest rated boxer in the respective class for that youth, and Keon won it for the 10-year-olds. How about that? I mean, that's unbelievable. So Keon is actually going to join me on the show to talk about why he decided to, try out the sport of boxing and to be that young as well and to be that good at the sport. And of course, I'm getting in the ring with him today. Yeah, you'll get to see that feature as well. Today around 4 o'clock, actually, I'm going out to Crown Boxing Gym, which is right in the hills of downtown Lansing. Of course, the owner of Crown Boxing is Ali Easley, who we have had on Current Sports before. And Ali is going to join me later on today, along with Keon, to talk about this incredible young man. So if you want to get a chance to meet Keon and to be a part of that live studio audience for Wednesday night, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free, folks. But man, oh man, do we have a full slate for you today. Man, it was a tough outing. A tough outing in multiple sports for Michigan State over the weekend, as you just heard. Of course, Tom Izzo and company falling to Illinois on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team losing on the road to Minnesota. And then, of course, Michigan beating the MSU hockey team. I believe even the MSU wrestling team also had a tough outing over the weekend. I mean, man, it was tough for Spartan fans to stomach watching some of the outings and games over the weekend for Sparty. So, I hope you guys are holding it together. Again, our phone lines are open. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And yes, I am going to start with Tom Izzo in the MSU men's basketball team. Now, Tom actually literally is just getting off the podium down at the Breslin Center for his weekly presser, in which he sort of gives us a preview of that week's matchup and sort of recounts what took place in the last matchup that the Spartans had, which, again, was only 2 days ago. Tomorrow they will be hitting the road to take on Northwestern. Interesting things throughout this presser. Of course, got to talk about the elephant in the room, folks, which has been a problem for Michigan State all year. And they are on track right now to actually be the worst free throw shooting team in all of Spartan hoop history. Man, oh man. And Saturday was no exception to that. They went 7 for 18 from the free throw line. Even had multiple golden opportunities to sort of close out that game at the free throw line, but couldn't get it done. So that's how I'm going to start the show. Of course, Tom Izzo, he spent about, to start the presser, he spent about 30-plus minutes addressing what in the world is going on with this team from the charity stripe.
We might be the worst free throw shooting team right now that we've ever had. I went through every team. Five times we shot in the 60s. 65-8, I think, was the worst. 69-8 was the highest one. I think we were five times we were 74 or higher, and we've been probably as a program probably 71-3% over the year. If we did that, we're sitting here, you know, with two losses. If we just shot 65%, we're sitting here with four losses.
There you have that. Again, this has been a problem, folks, all year for the Spartans. And, you know, in multiple games coming down in crunch time and multiple opportunities to just close out the game at the line. And, again, Saturday, you know, it was really crazy because watching that game, you know, we were out there covering, Alex and I were out there covering that game. And watching that game and what took place in those waning moments, if you guys remember the Travis Trice free throw, and then Starks comes in to try and box out Travis Trice, and they call a technical. Now, there was a lot of debate about it. They actually went to the film to sort of evaluate the call and whether or not to issue a technical foul. But they did. They issued a technical on Starks. And then, you know, MSU has this crazy opportunity. You know, so Travis Trice goes to the line. He's able to, you know, have an opportunity to shoot that second free throw once again. He misses that. And then they call a technical foul on Starks, which I got to be honest, I totally didn't agree with. It was very surprising in that call because I just felt as though Starks was just, you know, ensuing a regular box out. He makes some contact with Trice. Trice goes down. They evaluate it and they call a technical. So you get the Trice free throw, the second free throw at least. And then Tom Izzo decides to send Bryn Forbes to the line to shoot the technical free throws, in which he missed both, folks. And again, at that point, I mean, it's a really, really close game at that point. I mean, it could have certainly waned into the Spartans' favor. If they just hit those free throws, the storyline is probably totally different on this Monday's Current Sports, but it's not. And again, you know, they go to the line and they shoot, what, 7 to 18 from the line in that game at least. And you just sit there saying, man, I mean, if Michigan State, I mean, this has happened multiple games throughout the season. If they just make the free throws, that record would look at least a little bit better than it is right now. So, you know, again, Tom, he spent 30 minutes talking about it today at the Breslin Center. He talked about also how Brandon Dawson right now is the most consistent player on the team. And just here's a bite just on guys playing well for the Spartans. Here he is.
As I always say, you know, if the head isn't right, the body gets affected, and that's putting pressure on. But listen, if we're going to win, I've said it 100 times, as frustrating as it is to hear, if you got most teams have 2 or 3 great players or best players, call them best players, and then there's a significant drop-off. I don't almost care where you are, Duke to UCLA to Syracuse to Michigan State, to Florida, to wherever. And to win, your 3 best players have to play pretty consistent. Our most consistent player has been Brandon Dawson, and we've had a little inconsistency. And so then you start reaching for Brent Forbes or Elvin Ellis or this guy or that guy to do more. And, you know, again, it's nothing you can hide. Your best player's got to play well. Travis Trice is... you know, was leading this league, I think, at one point, the 3-point shooting, or pretty close to it, in the high 40s for most of the preseason. Okay, and Dazell was above him, and now they're down in the 32s. They've already proven over time, it wasn't one game or 3 games, that they're good shooters, and you just got to get it back.
Yeah, again, that's Tom Izzo today at the Breslin Center addressing the media during his weekly presser. As you just heard, he talked about a few guys that, you know, I call them the big three for this team. Of course, Brandon Dawson, Denzel Valentine, and Travis Trice. Those are the straws the starters drink at the end of the day. And Brandon Dawson has been, when you look at the numbers, Brandon Dawson has been the most consistent Spartan game to game to game. Now, you know, addressing, and again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. For those of you who watch this team and want to give your thoughts on it, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this and maybe agree or disagree with me. But when looking at those two components other than Dawson, the other two, Denzel Valentine and Travis Trice, the more and more I look at this team, and the more and more I see them, you know, lose the close games and are forcing situations where guys have to step up and make buckets, the head is certainly turned to Denzel Valentine, and Travis Trice to do that, because we've seen them have a few breakout games this year that it was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, Denzel Valentine, you know, he's shown that he can take it inside and out and score if need be. But when it comes down to those crucial moments where it's a tight game, he hasn't always showed up. And looking at last year, you know, I always look at last year because I knew, and we all knew this, when Keith Appling and Adrian Payne and Gary Harris left this team, naturally, this team was going to take a step back. We knew that. Let's just be honest here. But just how big that step back is or was going to be, I don't think any of us predicted or fathomed that it was going to be this big. Because the luxury that this team had last season was that they had three guys they could go to, ideally. Now, of course, Keith Appling, once he went down in that North Carolina game and injured his hip, his confidence wasn't to a standpoint where it was at the beginning of the season. I mean, he was in National Player of the Year talks at the beginning of the year before that injury happened. But you still had two guys who were offensive juggernauts in Gary Harris and Adrian Payne. Denzel Valentine, Travis Trice, and even Brandon Dawson were not the primary options to go to and score when they needed to. Now you're starting to see, with the absence of those pieces, you're starting to see Valentine, Trice, and Dawson forced into those roles now. Now, me personally, this is my opinion, folks. Brandon Dawson is not a guy, and I've constantly said this, he's not a guy who you can get a ball to and say, hey, go get me some buckets. He's just not that guy. Brandon Dawson gets most of his points off of putbacks, off of rebounds, and so on and so forth. Denzel Valentine, again, we've seen Denzel have some great games, great, great games. But I don't think that Denzel Valentine is a guy who you can say, all right, we need a bucket, we're down two, or we need to put this game out of reach, let's give it to Denzel and let him work. I don't think he's that type of guy. And we saw that against Illinois on Saturday. I mean, Denzel Valentine, a crucial moment. And what does Denzel do? He drives, he has a jump stop, he goes up, and eventually just throws up some crap. Travis Trice is a guy who's a rhythm type of player. He loves that jump shot. You're never really going to see Travis Trice put it on the ground, go to the paint, get fouled, or hit a layup. That's just not his game. Travis Trice is a guy who is going to hit that outside jump shot, who's going to hit the three. As far as a guy who's going to come in, and again, you can get a ball to and just create, I don't know if Michigan State has that player. And I think at the end of the day, it's hurting them. It's hurting them right now. Izzo has a few more, some more interesting things to say in today's presser. He believes that it's not effort related when it comes to the woes of this team. It's more so mental toughness. I do agree with that, because looking at the team on Saturday, I mean, it wasn't the reason why they lost that game had nothing to do with how hard they were playing. They were playing hard, folks, without a doubt. Point blank period. They were giving it all they had. But again, it was the little things, doing the little things right for this team. And mental toughness. Folks, free throws are mental. That comes down to your mentality, how you approach that. It's kind of, you know, I was talking to Fred Human Channel 6 that day too. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like a putt, you know, in golf. Those are mental things. Going to the line and be able to shoot free throws on a consistent basis is all mental. And right now, this team just doesn't have it. And it's funny, after that game, you know, after the Illinois game, you know, we went to the locker room for player interviews. And then, you know, after interviewing, you know, Denzel and talking with Alvin Ellis, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Brent Forbes comes walking in. You know, he's got on his shorts and he's holding the basketball. And we're sitting there like, oh, Brent, where are you just coming from? He was like, I've been shooting free throws for the last 15 minutes. So, I mean, this team knows it's a big problem. And again, I think it's just a mentality of how they approach it, because those are things you just got to make those. It's interesting perspective. I want to bring in Alex now, because Alex is also at the game covering it with me. Alex Sharg, our fantastic engineer, the man behind the glass. How you doing, my man?
Yeah, doing well. And when it comes to Michigan State woes, I actually attribute more to the end of the game shooting. Yeah, free throws was a big part of it. But when you look at the shot selection between Trice and Valentine coming down the stretch, you wonder and say, oh my goodness, are those the shots they actually needed to take? Could there have been a better shots? And I think the answer is yes, Al. Yes, there could have been better shots down the stretch. And although they missed the free throws, they still had a chance to win it with a shot. And it wasn't a good one. They weren't open. Izzo kind of brushed it off in his interview. And all's well that ends well. And hey, man, aside from free throws, like Izzo said, there's a lot of other issues going on that they got to fix.
Yeah, but, you know, it's so glaring because, again, essentially, in my view, the refs gave Michigan State the game on Saturday, folks. Michigan State was down, and when Travis Trice was at that free throw line and that technical foul was called, it was like, oh my goodness, I mean, Michigan State can take the lead here if they just make their free throws. And you saw what happened. The referees just said, hey, Spartans, even though you guys have not played great pretty much all game, we're basically going to give you this game right now. And the fact that they couldn't close it out, that is why it's so glaring. And it's been multiple games throughout this year where Michigan State, if they just do those little things right, again, they would have a few more wins in that Big Ten column. But, you know, and again, you know, Tom also talked about today how after that game, he cannot recall a game where he's been that mad. It was the maddest he's ever been. And because of those little things. And it's constantly a problem. So, you know, and I think, again, other guys this year have to step into different roles that they haven't been accustomed to. And other guys are going to have to do that. I think that Bryn Forbes has to be a more well-rounded player other than being a sharpshooter. They're missing that penetration to their game as well. If they're not getting out in transition, and when a team forces Michigan State to set up a half-court offense, Michigan State struggles in that regard. Because there's no movement, you don't have the guards penetrate and open things up for shooters. You just don't have that fluidity. Also, Tum-Tum, you know, Tum-Tum near it. I think that Tum-Tum, I think we started to see his confidence grow little by little, game after game. But, you know, looking at Tum-Tum in the first half, he played 11 minutes in the first half and just 4 in the second. I think that Tum-Tum has to be that guard to give you that penetration. You know, to be able to put the ball on the floor and go to the foul line. And, again, hit the free throws once you get there, right? But, you know, that having Tum-Tum, the emergence of Tum-Tum, could take some pressure off of Travis Trice, because I just think that Valentine and Trice are shouldering a lot of the load, most of the load, let's be honest here, when it comes to that guard production. And, again, the fact that Michigan State only this is a stat that really blew my mind when watching this game. Michigan State only out-rebounded Illinois by one. That's it. I mean, this is a team, normally, when you look at the end stat line for comparing a Michigan State opponent to the Spartans at the end of the day, Michigan State usually is going to out-rebound you by double digits. And the fact that they only out-rebounded Illinois by one, I mean, that was a gritty win by Illinois. And, you know, hey, at the end of the day, they may have wanted it a little bit more than the Spartans.
Yeah, look, give Illinois some credit. Because
You do have to.
Look, the Spartans are a team that are... They're slated to make the tournament. Are they in the bubble? Slightly.
I disagree with that. I don't think they're slated to make the NCAA tournament right now. They are on the bubble, and that bubble is huge right now, Alex.
Fair enough.
Same thing with Michigan, too. The Cats down in Ann Arbor. Same thing with them.
Regardless of where the Spartans are, Illinois is not on the verge of making the tournament. You know, they're hungry. They need every win they can. They need to win probably 80% of their next Big Ten conference games. And between the play of Starks and Egwu, give them some credit. I mean, they played a great game, and Izzo said that as well. And for the Spartans, I don't know if it's, like you said, the penetration and the role. I think it honestly comes down to them just, I think it's just getting shots. Like Izzo said, getting good shots and making
But for me,
throws.
That's how you get good shots. Movement. Half-court offense is all about moving, whether it be setting a pick or having somebody driving the lane and having that kick out. The Spartans aren't moving on offense. Now, again, it's just they look stagnant sometimes, and they rely so much on the 3-point shot. They've been doing that. That's been a staple of them all year. They shot 7 for 20, 7 of 20 from the 3-point line on Saturday. I just think when it comes down to it, and you know, you talk about teams on the bubble right now. I think you can pretty much put it goes for me: Wisconsin, then Maryland, and Ohio State, and then everyone else. It's kind of a crapshoot because even with the losses, that I mean, being 6-4 right now in the Big Ten, I mean, they're still sitting at third place in the Big Ten because you got a 4-way tie for second place, and then you got Wisconsin top dog at 9-1.
But that's the thing. You can look at it as, oh, the Big Ten is not good this year.
It's not.
But that's the thing. You can look at it that with the records, but I would argue that all the Big Ten teams are just pretty good, and that's why teams are losing games.
No, not at all. For me, if my honest opinion, I think it goes Wisconsin, Maryland, and then everyone else.
Al, to crack the
I don't think the Big Ten is that good this year.
To crack the top 25, you need like 3 or 4 losses. If you go look at the top 25 right now, most of the teams are undefeated, have 3 or 4 losses.
I understand that, Alex, but rankings at the end of the day for me mean nothing. I've always said I hate ratings, dude. Rankings are totally overrated in my opinion.
So how many Big Ten teams you think will make it?
At probably 3 or 4.
That's it.
I think Ohio State, Indiana, Maryland, and Wisconsin. You can pencil those guys in. You can definitely pencil those guys in. Everyone else, though, I don't know.
I mean, obviously you don't know, but how many teams will actually make it?
I said four or five teams.
The Big Ten's still going to get 5 or 6 teams. Usually do. They usually get 5 or 6
teams. Well, I said 4 or 5. That's not off from 6. I think 4 or 5 teams right now. But I think to say that Michigan State is going to make the tournament right now, how can you make that statement? Right now, they're on the boat. Right now, they're sniffing the NIT right now. Without a doubt. They are sniffing it. I believe we have a caller right now who's been on for a while. On line one, Ray, my man, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, I agree with you, my friend. There's like 3 or 4 teams in the Big Ten. The rest of them are you're right on the bubble. I tell you, your movement was terrible down the stretch. I was watching the game. And after that technical foul, I mean, come on, what are you, 5 out of 17 from the free throw line?
Right.
Izzo, he missed that free throw when he was a kid, and he shoots like 90-95%. I can't believe he can't get it across to them. At least better shoot 60% or 70% at the free throw line.
Yeah, it's bad right now.
They're going to get fouled. All these games coming up, if they don't start making their free throws, everybody's going to say, just foul them. They can't make them anyways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what? To kind of look at the glasses half full, I will say that, and this is something I've criticized Michigan State all year, is that they don't get to the line enough to even have those opportunities to shoot free throws. They got to the line a hefty amount on Saturday, and I really thought they did a great job at doing that. I mean, they shot 18. They actually got to the line more than Illinois did. The thing is, they just couldn't they couldn't shoot them. You know, that's the thing about it. You know, so 7 to 18 from the free throw line is just not going to get it done, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you. Don't you – all those big guys you got, you ain't got anybody that can post up down front and then kick the ball back out. I know you were missing your three-pointers anyways, but you got to be able to do that. You got to be able to post up a little bit once in a while, you know, down the stretch like that.
No, I agree. I agree. And, you know, Matt Costello, we've seen a few shades of him, you know, having great games. I mean, you know, looking at the Michigan game, just Matt Costello, how big was he in that game, you know, on both ends, defensively and offensively? You know, he was subpar. Brandon Dawson. Dawson, what, he had 12 points, 6 rebounds. I mean, normally he's a walking double-double, but, you know, he wasn't really effective down the stretch for MSU. And then, you know, somebody who I'm wondering what's going on with him is Marvin Clark Jr., because Marvin Clark Jr. only played 4 minutes on Saturday. And he only took 1 shot. So, you know, from that perspective, as far as looking at the front court productivity, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know with them. As far as any consistency from there, I don't know, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you, Michigan almost beat Indiana at Indiana. I thought they played a heck of a game. I'm telling you right now, in a week or two, when you go down there, if you don't get your game straightened out, you're not going to be able to beat them with all those players out.
And that's also something I also want to bring up, because I think Michigan right now, I mean, I watched most of that game yesterday, and I tell you what, they compete. And it's so amazing to have Derek Walton Jr. and Caris LeVert out. And you push an Indiana team, Alex talk about top 25, what team who is in the top 25, and you push them to the brink like that? I mean, just imagine if that 3-point shot goes down at the end. You know what I mean? I mean, Zach Irvin as well, stepping up his game. Spike Albrick, Aubrey Dawkins. I think that Michigan, I tell you what, John Beilein, you got to give a hats off to him. But at the end of the day, I watched the press conference of Beilein afterwards. At the end of the day, they're tired of moral victories here. They're tired of saying, You know, it was a close game, and yeah, our two stars may be out, and we're making it competitive. But at the end of the day, we're not winning still. But it's very impressive what they've been able to do with that personnel group out.
They're 13-11. They got a bunch of tough games coming up. If they lose 14, 15 games, they might not even get in the NIT.
Yeah.
So, you know, you guys have got to get your game straightened out before you go down there. What are you playing them in, a week or two or something?
I believe next week. Next week on either Tuesday or Wednesday, I think.
Well, Michigan goes to Illinois next. What day is that game, Wednesday or Tuesday?
I have to check the schedule for you, Ray. But nonetheless, again, that's if Michigan State has a lot of things to work on other than the free throw woes. But if they don't get it together right now, I mean, every game is kind of like a 50-50 crapshoot for me right now watching the squad. So
yeah, I think you're in trouble if you don't start winning some games. You ain't gonna make the tournament if you don't start getting straightened out.
Ray, great call as always, my man.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks a lot. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Listen to our first break, folks. When we come back, we'll recount some memories from one of the greatest to ever do it, folks. One of the greatest coaches in American history, Dean Smith, sadly passed away yesterday. We'll talk about that and also bringing you our weekend winners. Who exactly had the best weekend in the world of sports? Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I definitely have to bring up this story because I think it was a big shocker for many, specifically in the college basketball world and for many players that actually were coached by this man. But the passing of Dean Smith, of course, longtime North Carolina Tar Heel men's basketball coach. I mean, just looking at his track record really briefly here, I mean, two national championships, 11 Final Fours, 3 ACC conference titles, or excuse me, 13 ACC conference titles, 36 seasons, folks, 879 career coaching victories, which ranks fourth all time. I mean, it's unbelievable what Dean Smith was able to do and the many coaches that he coached throughout the game. Here's actually Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo actually talked about Dean Smith and what he meant to basketball this afternoon.
You know, I did get to know Dean Smith a little bit, and you know, I was involved in my first Sweet 16 against them and my second game of my career against them when Dick Vitale had that infamous, you know, he got me off the floor in Hawaii to tell me that I just wanted to tell you something. And in the bottom of the ticker, it said Dean Smith, you know, 795 wins, Tom Izzo won. And he says, good luck today. And he started laughing, you know, and 20 minutes later, we were 20 down, come to think of it. But so that's where my Dean Smith, you know, other than through Judd and getting to know him a little bit. And I was with him in California a couple times for Wooden Award things. And, you know, I think they said it best. You know, I didn't really know all the stuff that he's done in society. He's done such a lot of great things in helping the barriers that we've had to deal with. And so he's not just a great coach and a good person and a guy who did it the right way, but he's also a guy that reached out beyond that, and yet nobody knew about it because he was, I think, had incredible humility. And so I talked to Roy last 2-3 years. He was definitely dropping. Nobody knew much, but it was a tough time for him. And if there's anything that's considered a blessing, I'm glad he's gotten a chance to go out with his dignity and the way he wanted it. And we'll be saddened, I guess, as a profession to lose an icon, but appreciative of what he gave to the game, what he gave to his players, and I think what he gave to society.
Yeah, Dean Smith, folks, he was 83 years old. And again, one of the, when you talk about success in sports, and not just in college basketball, folks, Dean Smith's name is certainly brought up multiple times. And, you know, one of the staples of Dean Smith that he lived by, a pretty cool phrase here that he wrote in the Carolina Way, leadership lessons from a life coach in coaching. He wrote that book along with Gerald Bell and John Kilgo back in 2004. And his philosophy, he says in there, quote, "My basketball philosophy boils down to six words. Play hard, play together, play smart." He will certainly be missed. And what really blows my mind when you look at Dean Smith was the unbelievable names that he coached throughout his tenure at North Carolina, including, of course, a guy who I'm the biggest fan of, who I think is the greatest basketball player to ever live, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And I can go down the list just to throw out a few names here. Jordan to James Worthy, Sam Perkins, Jerry Stackhouse, and Rasheed Wallace, two former Pistons there for you. Kenny the Jet Smith, heck, even Larry Brown and George Karl. Yes, that's how far his coaching roots go, folks. So he's a guy who will certainly be missed. I mean, at 83, I mean that's a full life right there, man. And you have all these memories now, and it's just unbelievable to see the tweets that have rolled in and the constant memories just kind of recounting the lives that Dean Smith were able to touch. So Dean Smith, rest in peace, my man. Again, dead at the age of 83. All right, folks. Well, let's transition now into a segment that we certainly bring to you every Monday, where we kind of take a look back at the weekend that was in sports and recount some of the athletes, coaches, and just plain old figures in the sports world. Who exactly had the best weekend in sports this weekend? Here we go. Time for weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Yes, these were the best around in the world of sports. And, for my weekend winner, I want to start with Damian Lillard, because he's a guy who I believe all year has been one of the stars, at least through the first half of the NBA season. Damian Lillard has put up just crazy amounts of numbers. I'm starting to see his game mature, game in and game out with him. And I really love his story, too, because Damian is a guy who had to earn his way in the NBA, played in the D League for a little bit, and now has become, a staple to the success of the Portland Trailblazers team. But I really thought he got snubbed initially when the entire roster for the NBA's Western Conference and Eastern Conference All-Stars were announced. Of course, the fans choose the starters. So I wasn't too shocked that he was not named on the starting list, but I was shocked that he didn't even hold a spot when the list of the other players were named. So, Blake Griffin has certainly been an incredible player this year for the Los Angeles Clippers, but he will be out now due to a staph infection in his elbow. So he will be out for some time, and he will not be playing this weekend in the NBA All-Star game. So Damian was actually announced as his replacement. So I just want to say congratulations to Damian Lillard for becoming an All-Star, no matter what the road was to get there. Because at the end of the day, I look at it and I don't know how it will feel if I'm Damian. Because if you're Damian, you got to feel as though you should have earned a spot initially before the list was released. I mean, he's probably sitting there saying, "Oh yeah, I'm definitely All-Star this year," and then it comes out that you're not. And then the fact that you the only way you make the team is because of an injury. I don't know. You kind of have to take it. You kind of have to be a little bit salty about it. But at the same time, all in all, Damian Lillard was named as an All-Star. So I want to give a hats off to him. So that's how I started with Damian. Alex, you got any weekend winners right here?
You got to give some credit to Peter Mrazek from the Red Wings stepping in from Howard. This is a third-string goaltender. This guy has led the Wings to a three-game win streak. He's starting against the Penguins. He's going. Babcock is going with Mrazek over Howard for the Pens and beyond. So you got to give Mrazek some credit. I mean, this is a third-string goalie, very young, in his low 20s, stepping in a big way, starting goaltender after some injuries, and, hey, he's playing really well. So props to Peter Mrazek. That's my weekend winner.
Nice. All right. And also we have in studio right now one of the outstanding students who have been working day in and day out here on Current Sports for this semester, Darian Harris. How you doing, Darian?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show, Al.
Hey, thanks a lot, my man. So you want to chime in on weekend winners. Who do you have, my man?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at Kevin Love here. Having a kind of inconsistent season, you know, so far averaging 17-10, which are his lowest numbers of his career. But on Sunday, you know, against the Lakers, he scored 32 points, grabbed 10 boards, by far his best game of the year. So that's my weekend winner. You know, just had a great game, got really involved in the offense. LeBron was finding him. Kyrie was finding him in transition. So I think he's really finding his niche in Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Love is actually also one of my weekend winners. Again, 32 points, 11 of 18 shooting, 7 of 8 from the three-point land. I mean, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, it's really interesting. I don't know if you saw this, Darian, but LeBron, after that game, tweeted out, you know, I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but I know he said sometimes it's not about fitting out, but fitting in, something like that. And initially after the game, Nero reporters asked him about it, and he was like, no, it was just kind of a generic statement about the chemistry on the team. But then, you know, later on, he announced that, yeah, that tweet was for Kevin Love. Because Kevin, before the season even started, you know, when he had got the call that he was going to be a Cav, he kind of said that, you know, I'm just trying to fit in right now. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to fit in. And it's really interesting, though, seeing as though I think that LeBron James is doing all that he can to get Kevin Love implemented with the Cavs, because Kevin has had some stretches where I believe he even had like a career low not too long ago where he scored like 5 points. So to see him finally gelling with this team, to see LeBron making a concerned effort to get Kevin involved offensively, I think is fantastic. And they are very dangerous right now. I believe they won 13 of their last 14 games. So impressive stuff. So yeah, definitely a shout out to Kevin Love. Also, I want to shout out the newest head coach of the CMU football team, John Bonamago. Folks, if you missed our current sports quick hit headliners to start the show, John Bonamago, former now Detroit Lions special team coordinator, he decided to leave the NFL to take a head coaching position at CMU. Now, he said that the position has really been his dream job. Since he left the CMU football team back in 1987, he has been in the NFL for the past 16 years and, of course, is replacing Dan Enos, who left the program last month to be an offensive coordinator at Arkansas. So I wanted to shout out John. I think he's going to do one fantastic job. And, you know, this is the fact that this is his dream job, to come back to the CMU football team. He was there back in the 80s. I think it's a pretty kind of a cool full circle story. So congrats to the Chips for getting their guy. And last but certainly not least, I have to bring up this brother, because I don't know, did you catch the Grammys yesterday?
I did.
I caught the Grammys. Alex, did you catch it at all? The Grammys, it was pretty cool. I kind of felt as though it was a little, compared to last year's Grammys, a little boring, because a lot of the performances were just kind of slow songs. You didn't really have, and I'm a big hip-hop guy. The only rapper who performed was in correlation with, of course, John Legend, R&B artist John Legend. Common performed with him. But overall, it could have been a little bit better. Beyonce, of course, you had some big names thrown in there, too. AC/DC opened up the show. But I got to give a shout-out to this brother, because he racked up and just about won every single category he was nominated for. Sam Smith. I mean, what do you have, like 5 Grammys, I think, yesterday? I mean, an unbelievable performance from him. Sam Smith tore it up, and it was cool seeing him go up there. And, you know, and at one point, you know, he just kind of said, my goodness, I did not expect at all any of this. And I just think that Sam Smith had such a big year. I got to shout out that brother, because in a way, the Grammys have a sort of a sports feel, because you are competing with other artists, and at the end of the day, you want to win. So Sam Smith, that brother I tell you what, he's got great music, folks. If you haven't heard Sam Smith, Google that guy. All right, so Sam Smith also makes my list. All right, let's hit our second break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to talk about a story that is certainly controversial, to say the least, and it concerns a certain team by the name of Syracuse. Don't go anywhere. You'll get to hear about that and so much more. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. About 15 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that we've talked about or yet to talk about, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before I bring up that controversial story, as I stated before the break, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV will be taping this Wednesday at 6 p.m., Keon Gee, 2015 Michigan Silver Glove State Champion, will be joining me. this 10-year-old is a beast in the ropes, okay? It's going to be a fantastic episode, so just simply go to WKR.org to sign up online for free for that one. And also, February 17th, so a week from this week, I'll be inviting Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1. Rico will be joining me to dive in and get his thoughts on the MSU basketball team. And Rico is the king of recruiting, so he'll also be talking a lot about the 2015 Michigan State football recruiting class and so much more. So again, just simply go to WKR.org for all of that info and to sign up online for any of those episodes. Well, you know what? Really interesting story concerning the Syracuse men's basketball team. I don't know if you guys have been following this story at all, but of course, Jim Boeheim is the head coach of the Syracuse Orangemen. And, you know, it's really interesting to follow this story from its infancy because this initially, well, not initially, if you want to look at the entire story, I mean, this is an investigation that has been going on now for 6 years. 6 years this has been taking place, folks. Now, it's expected and it's being thrown out and rumored that the NCAA is going to release its ruling as early as this Wednesday as far as any punishment for this for the team. Now, again, if you haven't been following it, Syracuse has been in under investigation for academic fraud. Basically, you know, student athletes have been kind of getting a pass in the classroom, supposedly, I should say supposedly. And, you know, the NCAA has kind of looked at it and said, okay, maybe we need to look at this a little bit further. Now, again, if you guys haven't been following the story, during a few weeks ago, actually, Syracuse announced that it would be kind of waving the white flag and not participating in any of the postseason action and declaring itself ineligible for any tourney after the regular season is all said and done. Now, Orange coach Jim Boeheim, he was asked about the school's announcement that it was banning itself from the postseason as part of the NCAA's ongoing investigation into the school's basketball and football programs. And Boeheim just kind of just really didn't take kindly to it. And, you know, at first when Boeheim was asked if he would like to respond to people who have been accusing him of running a dirty program, he declined to answer. He declined to answer, but then a moment later, he turned back to his questioner and just completely sniped, saying, quote, "I don't give a beep 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 what those people think. I know what I've done, and I know what we do. And I'm proud of it," end quote. The audio of that and visual of it can be seen right now online everywhere. We actually post that to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports as well. Now, you know, it's really interesting when looking at this. There is a lot of layers to this story, and I don't want to, I guess, declare anyone guilty before the hard facts come out. Now, again, this has been taking place, you know, 6 years. The investigation has been going on, and there's been a lot. The reason why it's taking so long is there's been a lot of hurdles and loopholes to overcome when it comes to the logistics of the case, which I won't get on right now because we could have this discussion for 2 hours if I went through the timeline as to why this is now just being ruled upon. And again, at the earliest, could be ruled upon by Wednesday. But I did have a problem with the timing of the announcement that the Syracuse men's basketball team was not going to partake in any of the postseason tournaments. Because at the end of the day, I don't think it's just fair to the kids. And the reason I say this is because you have, you know, these players who are playing with Jim Boeheim, and then at the middle of the year, they know the investigation is going on. But in the middle of the season, they find out that they won't be able to partake in the NCAA tournament if they even make the tournament, or any tournament at that. I just think that's unfair because I'm pretty sure that, and even if I'm not pretty sure, there are, I'm sure, kids that probably would have taken this into consideration as to whether or not they wanted to transfer, knowing that this team was not going to partake in any postseason activities. I'm pretty sure there was a kid on that team who would have thought to themselves and said, okay, I could play for Syracuse, but I don't know if I don't want to be a part of any postseason action. I think I may want to consider possibly taking my talents and transferring to another school. I'm pretty sure you at least want to give your players that opportunity to do that if they feel so fit to do so. So I didn't like the timing because right now these kids can't transfer. They're kind of stuck right now. And there was even some quotes released by the captains of the team saying, yeah, this is really unfortunate, but hey, it's something we basically got to deal with now. You know, it's nothing we can do about it now. So first off, I want to get your initial thoughts on this story, Alex. I mean, I don't know if you've been following it pretty intently, but again, the ruling could come as soon as Wednesday. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I grew up actually rooting for the Orange, and it's sad to see a team where you have a guy like Rocking Christmas, who's improved so much. It's his senior year. I mean, he's not returning like some of these other guys. I mean, this is his, you know, hip and hurrah, man. So he's not going to be able to see any NCAA tournament himself. And you have to wonder, yeah, the players are saying, they released a statement I saw saying that they're not going to make sure that their ban, their postseason ban, is going to limit them for how they play for the rest of the year. But let's be honest, you know that there really isn't an endgame at the end of the day. That's going to affect you at some point. It obviously affected a program like Penn State for football. It's affected a lot of other programs before. So you got to be a little bit sad for those guys who they really don't have a lot to play for at this point. But in terms of the investigation, I mean, there are a lot of different, you know, cases that this could be against, but I kind of look back to what you said, Al, about North Carolina, where, you know what, you just got caught. I mean, that's what it comes down to, man. And it's, I'm sure, like you said, that there are other organizations that are violating NCAA allegations out there. They just got caught in it, and it's just too bad. And for a coach like Jim Boeheim, you know, you hate to see something like that.
Now, you know what? When looking at this whole thing, there's another a question I kind of want to bring up and pose. And it's also about another layer to this story is whether or not Jim Boeheim, if his program is found guilty of any miswrongings throughout this whole thing, will Jim Boeheim fall prey to the so-called coach responsibility rule? Now, with that being said, now I want to, the reason why this is brought up is because going back to Penn State, what took place at Penn State under the rule of course, Joe Pye, the great Joe Paterno, there were a few people who argued, okay, Joe Pye, since this happened under his watch, even though they're not 120% as to 120% sure as to how much Joe Pye really knew, it still happened under his watch, so he needs to be punished. Does Jim Boeheim, you know, once the facts are released, do you think he should fall prey to that coach responsibility rule, seeing as though it did possibly happen under his watch?
Yeah, I don't think he should, but I think it has to. And the same thing with Joe Pye, it's like, you know, you don't want a guy with that much respect. He's on his way out. You don't think that it should fall under him, but it kind of has to. It's the same thing, whether you say it or not, but with Brady Hoke with the concussion thing. It's still under his watch. It's still under Brandon. So I think that, yeah, it kind of has to, Al. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the big question is, what did he know? And when did he know it? I think those are two big questions as well that I'm pretty sure many people are going to be paying attention to, including ourselves. But, you know, for me, I think if anything, if you are the head of any organization, if you are that guy, whether it be, you know, on your job right now, whether it be your boss, and if something goes wrong with one of your employees that affects the overall productivity of what you do in your career, at the end of the day, the big man takes the blame and they have to be punished. So Jim Boeheim, you know, again, whatever comes out in this whole story, since he is the head coach and it happened on his watch, this is just the way life is. I mean, whether or not he knew certain things and he didn't know certain things, at the end of the day, you're supposed to know those things. So I do think that Jim Boeheim is going to fall victim to that rule. So, and I think they're kind of almost in a way sort of bracing themselves for bad news, you know, kind of punishing themselves even before anything is even released with this postseason ban. I was very taken aback when Syracuse came out and said, hey, we're going to withdraw from any postseason activities, because at the end of the day, it happened in the middle of the season and they're sort of like waving a white flag before anything has come out yet. So I just think there's more to this story. And also, you know, 2 weeks ago, I brought up the story about the NCAA investigating like 20 schools when it comes to academic fraud, including, as you just talked about, Alex, North Carolina. It's happening. It certainly is happening. But as far as proving that it's happening, You're starting to see that more and more come out. And it's going to be a very interesting story. Folks, if you want to weigh in on this one, you can, of course, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Also, even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I will read your tweets and or comments during tomorrow's Current Sportsing, as though we're about, man, time flies when you're having fun. Just 3 minutes left in the show. Alex, I'm gonna also table this discussion, but I just want to get your initial thoughts on this one as well. I don't know if you got a chance to check out the Michigan and Michigan State hockey game over the weekend. It took place, of course, out in Soldier Field. It's really interesting whenever you see a big hockey rink outdoors right in the middle of a football stadium. But there are many people. Now, again, the delay for this game was over an hour. Over an hour. And there are many people that feel as though outdoor hockey just isn't appealing to watch in a football stadium.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I think outdoor hockey is better for the players. It's kind of what they grew up with. A lot of the players in Canada and a lot of these international players, they grew up playing on the ice outside. So it's kind of a childhood thing for them. But for the fans, you're a little bit farther away. It's a little bit harder to see the game. Also, I have to say that when it's indoor in an arena, it's a little bit more tight-knit, and you feel a better sense of community. I mean, when you go to a hockey game inside, there's rumbling. There's a lot that goes into that.
Right.
So you're missing that when it comes to outdoor hockey. But I do think it's nice. It's a nice sort of revenue stream. It does branch out hockey a little bit outside of the local area. And it definitely, for a city like Detroit and a city like Chicago, for the Winter Classic and just like at Soldier Field, that's great for the sport. So I think it builds a sense of community that way as well with outreach. But again, the delay, like you said, not fun to watch. A lot colder outside with the ice, too. That's another aspect. So there are a lot of moving parts with this. Overall, though, I still think they should keep it.
Yeah, and they had – even with that being said, you still think they should keep it. Why
because,
is that?
Because it's for the players. It's something, like I said, where it's a little bit for their youth. And for hockey fans, even if you're not playing the game, hockey fans that are watching the game, they sense a little bit of that, too. And it's good for the sport of hockey. It's good for college hockey. And with the declining rates that you see with TV audience, I think that's good for the sport revenue-wise.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, I caught some of the highlights over the weekend of that. And it just seems so far away and distant. Not personable at all. Of course, yeah. I mean, for a hockey player, I mean, it certainly may be a dream for them to play in this big football stadium and so on and so forth. The atmosphere is different than playing in your normal hockey arena. But at the end of the day, it's just not appealing for the fan, overall fan. We're going to continue that discussion as well tomorrow as well, though, folks. Again, if you want to weigh on it, just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at AlMartinWKR. Man, we're sadly out of time, folks, but I want to give a special shout-out to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic day, and be easy, people.